Happy Mother's Day, family. Well, thank you. As you know, we've got power off to at least a third of the building, which includes the basis for the lapel mic, so if they put this up, you're going to be Elvis. But I think not, eh? So we'll be poking around today in Judges 4 and 5, if you want to turn there. What we learned from those passages is that times were difficult. Because the children of Israel had abandoned God yet again, He kind of left them to the consequences of their choices. One of those consequences was that a king called Jabin and his general Sisera rose to dominate the northern half of the land that Israel was supposed to inherit. One factor that allowed Jabin and Sisera to do this is that they had a technological advantage over the Israelites. This was the ending of the Bronze Age and the beginning of the Iron Age. Jabin and Sisera, these Canaanites, they had access to iron technology. The Israelites did not. More particularly, these Canaanites had chariots that were shielded with iron and had iron rims. And the Israelites had no chariots. This advanced military technology allowed the Canaanites to completely control and dominate the plains and the river valleys where almost all the grain is grown in Palestine. It also allowed them to control the major roads and trade routes. The result of this is that the Israelites were forced up into the highlands where they essentially lived as hillbillies off that unproductive land, living that hardscrabble existence. Now, Judges 4 and 3 tells us that King Jabin and his general Sisera cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. The results were devastating for the children of God. A description of how bad things had become for the children of Israel is found in poetic form in Judges 5, verses 6 through 8. Just reading sections of that, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. This depicts an economic blockade of the Israelite highlands, a trade embargo. Israelite merchants were squeezed out of the major trade routes and forced to bring in goods through difficult and dangerous back roads. When they do that, of course, it makes it more expensive to transport. So the black market thrived and prices were all jacked up. Cut off from the most productive farmland, excluded from access to the more lucrative trade routes and moving goods and services around, village life in the Israelite highlands came to a virtual standstill. Spiritual and moral decay is seen by the fact that they abandoned the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for new gods, false gods, idols. Constant warfare ruined them as well. Weapons and men willing to use them, according to this passage, were in short supply. Israel was defeated and demoralized economically, socially, spiritually, and militarily. That was the situation after 20 years of cruel oppression, when, in the words of Judges 5 and 7, Deborah arose, a mother in Israel. This means she was a mother figure to the Israelite tribes. Judges 4 and 5 describe her as both a prophet and a judge to whom the people of Israel would come to have their disputes settled. A prophet is a person God has chosen to speak through. Under God's guiding inspiration, they infallibly declare His message and His will. So through Deborah, God summoned a man of the tribe of Naphtali in the north of the country and told this Barak that it was time for him to assemble an army and deliver Israel from Sisera, Judges 4, 6, and 7. Barak, however, would not obey God's command to go and fight unless Deborah went with him. Chapter 4, verse 8. If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Now, I don't know what Barak's problem was, and neither does anyone else. Was his male ego trying to assert some control over Deborah? Did he believe that having God's widely respected spokeswoman with him would help in his recruitment drive? Or was he a big weenie who would only fight if Mama Deborah held his hand? Your guess is as bad as mine. Whatever was going through Barak's heart and mind, the fact that he put a condition on obeying God's command resulted in Deborah the prophet declaring, because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Chapter 4, verse 9. Before the battle, the narrative switches gears briefly and introduces us to a man by the name of Heber the Kenite. What's a Kenite? They were a clan closely affiliated with the tribe of Barbiites. No. Okay, didn't work for me either. You know, Ken, Barbie, come on, people. All right. Well, truth is, the Kenites were like Bedouin. Surely you've heard of Bedouin. They're the desert dwellers who prefer nomadic life over town life and farming. More particularly, the Kenites trace their origins to Moses. A couple of centuries before Deborah's day, Moses had escaped Egypt on a murder rap and fled to the eastern deserts of the Midianites. There he married a Midianite woman, Zipporah, and lived for 40 years with these nomads who were descended from Abraham and his third wife, Keturah. Now, after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, and while encamped around Mount Sinai, his Midianite relatives came to visit him and bring his wife and sons to him. And while there, Moses persuaded one clan of his in-laws to accompany Israel to the promised land, serving as experienced desert guides. That's found in Numbers chapter 10, verses 29 through 32. The Kenites were descended from this clan. They generally worshipped Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they were allies of the Israelites. But Heber appears to have been something of a rat. The Kenite clans live mostly in the south of the nation, in the Negev region of southern Israel. According to Judges 4 and 11, Heber separated from his other Kenite relatives and moved to the far north of Israel, not far from Barak's hometown. More than that, Judges 4 and 17 says Heber was buddies with King Jabin. Heber became the ally of Israel's oppressor. I don't know what possessed Heber to turn his back on his relatives, but he did. He not only turned his back on them, he hooked up with their enemies. Then the narrative of Judges switches back to the battle, which, no surprise, the Israelites miraculously won in overwhelming fashion because God said he was going to give the Canaanites a whooping. But General Sisera managed to escape the scene of carnage on foot. Once it was clear that he was not among the dead, wounded, or captured, Barak went in hot pursuit. Sisera fled the carnage to the camp of his king's friend, Heber. Heber wasn't home, but Mrs. Heber, Jael, was. The text says, chapter 4, verse 18, that she went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in, don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. He was thirsty. He asked for water, so she gave him warm milk to drink, and then she covered him back up. Now, before the exhausted oppressor of Israel fell asleep, Sisera commanded Jael to stand guard at the entrance of her own tent and tell anyone who came by that she had seen nobody. Chapter 4, verse 21 says, "But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay flat, fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Boy, she really had him pegged, didn't she? Yeah, groaner, I know. Put it up there with the Barbieites. Now, J.L. is to me a remarkable wife and mother, as remarkable as Deborah. Even though her husband had made the wrong choices for the family, J.L. made the right choice for God and for God's people. Without question, it took courage on her part to sneak up to and kill this hardened soldier. But I believe it takes greater courage to go up against the will of your family. Especially the leaders of the family, when they want to take the family in a direction contrary to God's will. There's no greater pressure, no greater peer pressure than family pressure. So, one of the things I want to do is commend the modern JLs among us who live in spiritually divided households as she did. Yet, you follow God's will in spite of the constant pressure not to. For that, you're to be commended. Now, I don't actually know if Deborah and JL had biological or adopted children. But in the tribal structure they lived under, the clan and the extended family was the basic family unit rather than the individual or the nuclear family. So they certainly served as mother figures to the rest of the people in the clan. These two women, Deborah and JL, were women of conviction, courage, ingenuity, and determination. Though these were dark days for the people of Israel, God raised up and worked through these two women to deliver Israel from their misery. And I want to appeal to the women of this congregation to be mothers of us all. Be our Deborahs and JLs. Be women of conviction and courage and ingenuity and determination. Rise up and let God use you to bring this church family through our present challenges to a new day of a vibrant faith where we reflect God in this community around us. There is never a time we do not need Deborahs and JLs. And there is never a time when we should not acknowledge them in our midst. And so, I thank you, women of faith, for the way you serve, the examples you set, the work you do to strengthen us all in God. The words are yours, family. Will you join me as we stand and as we sing?
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapons that fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.